amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. And just being in the house of the Lord, there's something about that. When you can make it to church, it's just a blessing. And no matter what else is going on in your life, if you just feel like you can get to church, then just being in an atmosphere like this and around the people of God, it can just be a help to you. And I trust that this will be tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Now, normally on Wednesday nights, we've been studying in the life of Elisha, and what a great Bible study that's been in 2 Kings. And there's so much that we have gained already from studying the life of Elisha, and there's much, much more. And so come back next Wednesday, and we'll continue our study in the book of 2 Kings on the life of Elisha. But tonight, as it's our annual election of officers, we always want to study the very words of God and why we have officers and just what are we doing and why we do what we do in the church. Can I tell you that the church is established by the Lord Jesus Christ? He knew from the foundation of the world that this time would come, and when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son. And as Jesus came, He came to establish His church, to give to usher in New Testament Christianity, to be able to give a testimony, an example for the entire church age, for all Christians of every generation to have Him to look to. Every Christian of every generation gonna have to deal with a lot of different situations and circumstances in the world that they live in, because the world has continued to change. As the world is more populated today, and there's more going on today than ever before. But God knew that we would be in this 21st century, and the Word of God was given for the church age. And every generation and every century, we've had Jesus Christ, the example of Him to look to, and that is a timeless example. Amen. That's not an old-fashioned example. Jesus Christ and His example is a timeless example. It was expected to be throughout this entire church age, no matter how long we go before the Lord calls the church home. It's been 2,000 years, and I believe the church is still going strong, but yet at any moment He could call the church home, and we know that. So we have the very example of Jesus Christ, and we have His church, and His church will be here throughout this New Testament church age. When the church is gone, then the church age is over, and we're in the tribulation period, all right? Just understand that. And Paul here, writing to the church at 1 Corinthians, at Corinth, this letter to the church at Corinth, the first letter, he's writing and he's explaining a lot of that very same thing, the purpose of the church and what's going on. In chapter 15, he just revealed to them what will take place at the end of the church age. And at the rapture of the church, and he talks about how that death is going to lose its sting, and it loses its sting knowing to be absent from this body is present with the Lord, all of that. But I want to focus on the very last verse of chapter 15. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read this, then we're going to go back to chapter 12. But chapter 15 and verse 58, a very powerful verse in the Bible, especially for the church, and for the church is the children of God who make up that local body. And he says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," therefore, understanding what this life is all about, understanding that there will come a day when Christ will call the church home, and death is going to be defeated, and we're all going to be in glory, and what a blessing that is. So he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," he says, "this is what I want you to do throughout the church age. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for it has not changed. For as much as you know that your labor in every generation, in every dispensation of time throughout this church age, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Amen. What a great, great, powerful verse. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for, Lord, just what you've given to us, for us to understand. And thank you, Lord, for the church. And thank you for how you, once you save us, then you will direct us to the church and you will plant us where you want us to serve you. And I just thank you, Lord, tonight for the Lighthouse Baptist Church as we've assembled here on this very important night, as we are looking to the officers that will take over to help lead the church in the direction you have us to go. I just pray, God, tonight that you'd bless in our assembly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, with that in mind, then go back with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. Because I think there should be no doubt that as born-again believers, born in this 21st century, for the most part, we are here to serve the Lord. And God has the church established, and he hadn't called the church home yet. And so we still have the timeless example of Jesus Christ. We have the timeless instructions of God concerning his church and the labor that we ought to be involved in. So we must continue to serve God and abound in accomplishing his work. His work in this New Testament church age has not changed. The dynamics have changed. I mean, you know, sometimes in certain areas, it's hard to go door-to-door soul winning. It's hard to do this, hard to run a bus route maybe, hard to have all the different things, but the work has not changed, and that is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, obeying the great commission that Jesus gave to us. So that has not changed, and it will not change as long as we are living in this church age. And so it's a timeless work that we do. But if we look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, understanding that every member has their place and work in Christ's church. Can I tell you, that is what's most important for each one of us as born-again believers. As knowing that God has given us life to live in this 21st century. He's planted us, and we are living here in the city of Indianapolis for the most part. And he has raised up this Lighthouse Baptist Church some 31 years ago, established. And God knew it. It's God's church. And for 31 years, this church has been looking to accomplish whatever God would have us to accomplish, as much as we can, to win the lost, bring them in, build them up, send them out, to bring them in, to build them up, send them out. We've been doing that for 31 years. We're going to continue to do that as long as I'm pastoring this church. And possibly, I hope you would say, as long as I'm a member of this church, if that ever changes, I'm going to change membership, whatever it might be, because you realize how important the work of the Lord is. And God has planted you here. And now I need to understand that, why am I here and what's the purpose and all the different things that's going on in my individual life. But every member has their place and work in Christ's church. Before we have any officers, before we have any positions, we are, first of all, each one of us, members of the body of Christ. All of us. That is first, before anything else. He tells us this in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. That means you have the Spirit of God dwelling. If you're saved here tonight, then you have been saved, and you have been redeemed, and you have been made alive again, born again, if you will, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. All of us, every saved individual, this is how you have got saved, by having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, by trusting in Jesus Christ and him sending the Spirit of God to dwell within you. And so he goes on to say, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? And I love what he illustrates there. All of us have the very same body, and we all have the very same functions, amen? And you know how your body works, and how it would be without having part of that function. Now, some people are born blind, and they don't have the very same function as we who are able to see, and they are limited on certain things. Some are born deaf, and they have to adjust, and some are born with no use of their limbs, or on and on and on. But I love that illustration because it helps us to see, and we know that every function that my body has is important to me. And by the grace of God, I have all of my functions. Amen? I mean, praise the Lord for that. I can see, I can hear, I can move, I can walk, whatever it might be. And I appreciate the functions of my body. And when I get sick and or something happens or I get punched in the face and I can't see out of one eye by my wife or something, then I don't have that function. And I realize how important it is to have two eyes. Amen? So I stay quiet most of the time at home. So I... Just teasing there, come on, just teasing. But you understand where I'm going with this. It is very important. And so we want to have all of our functions. God wants every church to have a full body.
Amen.
Amen. Every church, His desire, His will is to have a full body, all the functions. And the only way that we don't have all the functions is for whoever God's planted here with the ability, the spiritual gift, and the ability to provide that function, fails to do it. Now we can adjust, amen, but we'll not be able to accomplish everything we could accomplish if we had all of our functions working properly. Amen. That's what we have here. That's the illustration he gives us in this book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. Now, again, it was all leading there to chapter 15, what we read, so that we might be able to continue to do all that God would have us to do and abound in the work of the Lord. This church has abounded, and I want to continue to abound. I want to continue to see it grow, continue to do all that we possibly can do for the cause of Christ. And so we find here, in order to do this, we have to understand this idea of the body, every member is positioned here, and God has planted every member here. Each one needs to know that this is where God's planted you. Tonight, can I tell you, you need to know that I know that God's planted me here to pastor this church. And a little bit different, used me to be able to, me and my wife, and to be sent to establish the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And for some 31 years ago, and we've continued to see God add to this body and strengthen this body, increase this body. Praise the Lord for that. But there's no doubt in my mind, before I'm a pastor, I'm a member of the church. Before I'm a pastor, I'm just part of this body. And before you're an officer, you need to know that you're, first of all, a member of the church. You need to know that God has put you in this church, and that in being planted in this church, you have a function for the church to be able to accomplish everything that he has this church to accomplish. You, every single individual member, must understand you have a function in this church, whether it's an officer tonight or not. But if you're a member of this church, you have a function in this church. That's how God designed it. And that's timeless. That is timeless for the New Testament church. Amen. That will not change. So every member needs to know that in order to function properly. Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4. Just going to give you some things here to think about as we looking to new officers and going into this 2017 opportunity to accomplish great and mighty things for the Lord in 2017. Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, he's writing to the believers in Ephesus there, and that vocation is the work that they're doing in regards to the church. You have to walk worthy of that. Your service and your function in the church. With all lowliness and meekness and with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring, meaning you have to continue to work on that. We have to continue to work on. In order for this body to function properly, we must have unity and be willing to serve God. That's what he tells us there in Ephesians in chapter 4. Unity. Endeavoring. I've got to continue to work on that. Because if Satan's going to destroy the church, he will try to destroy it from within. You do a lot more damage from within than you can without. The gates of hell will not prevail against it, but within is where Satan will work the hardest. So endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, because we all have the same Holy Spirit. Amen. Every member here, if you're saved, if God looks to you as a member of this church, you have His Spirit influencing your spirit. And it's the very same influence that every other church member is going to have. And none of us are better than anybody else. We're all the same. We have different functions, but we're all the same. And His Spirit dwells within us. Praise the Lord for that. And so understanding that, it could be my part is just to make sure that I'm unified. Every member has that responsibility to make sure that you are unified with the body that God has planted you in. You don't pick and choose who you're unified with. Well, I'm going to be unified with my right arm, but I don't like my left arm. I'm not even going to pay it any attention. I'm not going to let it help me. I'm just going to be right hand. It's right there. It could be used. I'm not going to use it. That's silly, isn't it? I don't like my left eye, so I'm just going to close it and never open it again. How foolish. And yet, the Bible is revealing to us it is just as foolish if we are our main function in, as Christians is to reach the world with the gospel, and God's planted us in a church where we are one body. It's just as foolish to say, well, I'm not going to use Aaron. I don't care what his abilities are. I don't care what his spiritual gifts are. No, he's going to put on the, I'll never use him in the church. That's foolish. Amen. And any other member. And we have to work on that. Amen. Well, I'm not going to shake his hand. Yeah, I'll show him. I'm not even going to smile at him. I'm grunt at him. That's not endeavoring to keep the unity in the church. Not. Now, are we going to have problems from time to time? Yeah. But we endeavor because we understand how important this church is. And I'm going to focus on keeping the unity, and I'm going to do my part. If I'm not unified with everybody, I want to make sure it's not my fault that I'm not unified. You can't control what somebody else does, but you will give an account for yourself. And I believe one of the first things we're going to get account of is the church that God planted us in, and were you unified with that body? Were you unified with the whole body? Praise the Lord for it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Because you might have some here tonight say, well, I'm not an officer. Don't got anything to do and don't have any responsibility. Yes, you have responsibilities. And your responsibilities are very important to the overall health and well-being of this church if you're a member here. Yes. So we find here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Those that God has given positions in the church to admonish or to help oversee and possibly teach and preach or minister to, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. That word peace is very critical in the church. But here we find this idea we must esteem those in whom God is working through in the church to teach and admonish and disciple and work with the entire body. Not only the pastor. I think this is the understanding that God has positioned the pastor as the main overseer of the church. And so every member needs to be able to appreciate and look to the pastor and esteem him very highly for his work's sake. If you cannot, in order to esteem, it means to have respect. If you cannot have respect for somebody, you cannot be fed by those. People stay in churches where they despise the pastor, and I'm thinking, you don't know your Bible. If you do not have respect for the leadership of the church, you're in the wrong church. Because if you don't have respect for the leadership of the church, how in the world is God going to work through those positions to be able to help you through the preaching and the teaching and the admonishing? Not going to. And you're the one that's going to suffer because of it. So we need to work on this idea of unity, and then we need to work on this idea of esteeming those in whom God has put in positions, not that they're any better than you, not that God loves them more than you. And we'll see that in just a minute here, but the position is important for the function of the body, for the function of the church. It's important. In this body, God has this brain, and the body does not move outside the brain sending a signal to the body. Some people, you know, might have had a stroke or something, and it destroys part of the brain. And because the brain can no longer send out a signal to that part of the body, that part of the body can't move, it can't function. Sad when that happens. Amen? But if you're not aware of the signal coming from the leadership of the church, then that body will shrivel up and will not function. So you have to esteem that so that you might be able to receive that signal, that message that God has. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. These are just some biblical principles of the church and why we have officers and why the positions that we have in the church. And I think every believer needs to understand that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So in order to have to function properly, we must have unity and need to continue to work on that, endeavoring continually on that. We need to esteem God's men. That's something that the Bible tells us we need to be aware of and continue to work on that. And then he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints. Now, God does not rely on the lost to fund and support his church. Not saying that God does not work through that sometimes, and if whenever there's, but God will take care of his church through the membership of his church. And so he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, that's believers, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So all the churches have this order upon the first day of the week. Now that knocks out any other day as being the day of worship than Sunday. Amen. First day of the week. Let every one of you, everyone, that means everybody that's in that body. This is the function of this body. In order to keep the function going right, everyone, every member, show up. Don't leave your arm at home. The whole body come. Amen. I mean, excellent illustration, excellent example here. Every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. You're not hoarding up God's money, but you're bringing it every week and you're putting it where God would have you to put it. You're giving tithes and offerings. We must assemble and give tithes and offerings as God designed it for the storehouse or the local New Testament church to remain strong to be able to function as we ought to function as a collectively as a church. It's God's design. Tithes, we learn that as we start growing spiritual, we start gaining spiritual maturity and start gaining knowledge. We understand. And this is how God's functioned. That's how God designed it. Timeless, that will never change. That's how it's been going on for 2,000 years now. And that's how it will continue. God will continue to lead that until the rapture of the church. It doesn't change. So the church must have God's order. First of all, we have the church. Now we have to understand the order that God has given in the church. Titus in chapter 1. Titus in chapter 1. Now we're getting to reason for election of officers, the reason to have these positions. In the book of Titus in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the apostle during the apostolic age, God had them to continue to get the church where it needed to be. Amen? And there was a lot of things going on there. The word of God was now being finalized and being put in print, so now the church would have the word of God, completion of the word of God after the apostolic age. The church would be established, the positions in the church would be established, amen? And this is the apostolic age. There was some signs and wonders, and it was a transitioning from the Old Testament, New Testament. Now we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Didn't have that in the Old Testament. A lot of things going on. So this is what he was an apostle, and God worked through the apostles to establish what we have today. And so he says in verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot be lied, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Amen. That's exactly what God wants in the church. Amen. Through preaching. Preaching, every time we assemble ourselves together, there needs to be preaching. Amen. That's what God designed, because that's how he's going to manifest his word. And if you're not under the good biblical preaching, you're not being fed the word. And you're going to shrivel up. Even if you're saved, you're going to die on the vine, because you're not being nurtured. You're not getting the nutrients you need. And if you're just playing TV church, amen, as long as you're not watching us at 9 o'clock, amen, but you're coming to church, if you're just shopping around, you're not going to get a full diet of what you need. And so we find here, he says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. Now there was churches being established, and yet they were being established, but they didn't have the order that was necessary in Crete. And so we find here that Paul writes to Titus and he said, I left you here because you know the order, you know the biblical order that's supposed to take place in the church and how important it is in every church. And so I want you to make sure that you set it in order. I love that part of it. The church must have God's order. For there to be order, there must be positions of responsibility and a chain of authority. Positions of responsibility and a chain of order. In any business that's successful, you'll find that there's positions of responsibility and there's a chain of order that everyone goes through. Amen. This is something that God has established for the church, to how to run even a business successfully. If you own a business, you could do yourself well to understand God's design of order. Amen. And where churches mess up is when they mess up without having the right ones in the position, or messing up on the chain of authority and the pastor taking over the chain of authority and doing it his way. Or the congregation taking on the chain of authority and doing it their way. Or the deacons taking on the chain of authority and doing it their way. Whatever it might be, you're out of order. God says we ought to do everything decently and in order. So we find here this understanding that, first of all, what is a chain of authority? And God is the head. God is God. He is the author. Amen. He is the creator. He is almighty. God is the highest authority. There's nothing higher than God. And he gave his word, which represent him, which is referred to Jesus Christ. He was the word. His word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word became flesh. God says, Jesus Christ is my word. And he's going to come to earth as my only begotten son. And he became flesh. Yeah. Now the word, the next chain of authority is the word, which is Jesus Christ. He's the head of the body, the Bible says. He's the one that sends out the signals to start with. Yeah. And as he gave us the authority as God in his word, then he gave us the church. The church. Not the government. The church. And then we realize the church is made up of individual born-again believers. The body. The church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head, the church is the body. We just study now. The church, being a body, then has individual members that make up the body. Positions that he has established in the church. The first position that we find, there's only two biblical positions that God has established qualifications for, and give us the work that they're to accomplish. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, turn there with me. Everybody follow me tonight. Hopefully it's making sense, and we're going to get through this very quickly here. Because really there's not much change in the election of officers tonight, so hopefully that's going to go very, very quickly. But if we look here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, you find the qualifications for a pastor and deacon. This is a true saying that if any man desire the office of a bishop, now a bishop, pastor, elder, same position in the local New Testament church. They have different functions there, but in the New Testament church, all three make up the one position of a pastor. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. If you don't qualify, first of all, being a husband, that eliminates all the wives from being pastors. Amen. Like I said, where we mess up is getting out of order. God has established order. The Baptist church didn't establish order. God established order. I just think the Baptist church got it right. Amen. And we need to hold to what we got right. Stop trying to change it. So then this pastor must be blameless, a husband of one wife. Not one wife at a time, one wife. Amen. Just one wife. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, no greedy, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth. So the pastor is got a position of ruling. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So we find there the qualifications of a pastor. If you don't have those qualifications, not that you can't be used, you're still a church member. But in order to go from a church member to the position that God's established as far as a position of pastor, you have to, first of all, meet these qualifications. And then you have to know that God called you, prepared you, and planted you in that church for that position. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. There's a possibility. And that's what you guard yourself from. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office, position of a deacon, well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So we find here that we have the positions that God has established and given qualifications for, and that's the pastor and the deacon. You have to meet those qualifications if you're going to serve in that position in Christ's church. All other positions, every other offices that we establish as a church is found in Romans chapter 16. Look over there with me. Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Every other position that we've established falls under the heading of helpers in the church. There's really no qualification, biblical qualifications, outside of being a church member. Qualified to be a church member means you've got to be saved. And in order to serve in the church, you have to be able to have a testimony of Christ. It doesn't, in order to serve in some of these other positions, doesn't mean you have to have the same qualifications as a pastor. The Bible didn't give you that. Doesn't mean you have to have the same qualifications to be a deacon. The Bible didn't give that. But there's helpers in the church. Chapter 16, verse 1 through 4. I commend you unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, serving in the church. Praise the Lord for that. That ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she has business. And the church is to assist her. Business that she have need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. God has used her to be a help and a blessing to so many. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Outside of these helpers, we would not have the church. Praise God for that. Outside of all of the different ones volunteering and helping and serving in so many different capacities, we would not have the church that we have. So what a blessing to understand God's design of His church and the positions that He has established. Positions of responsibility following a chain of command. Praise the Lord for that. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Now, as we get ready to go into the election of officers, I just pray, God, that you'd help us, not just for tonight, but for the rest of our lives, remember the teachings on the church. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.